Amen. How many of you enjoyed the meal? Oh, come on. Give them a better hand than this. Amen. There you go.
All the way from the conquerors in Joshua.
Amen. How many of you, this is your very first time to be at Victorious Adults? Lift your hand real high so we can see you. Amen. Well, thank you so much for coming. As you can see, we're growing. We're growing. There's some of our regulars that are not here today. But before I get into the word that the Lord gave me, I want to. We have three individuals that attend our group here that are either in the hospital, a nursing home, or at home, but because they've been to the hospital. Joy Etheridge, those of you that know who Joy is, her and David attend here regularly. She had congestive heart failure this past Monday and was in the hospital. They sent her home, I think, Thursday. And she's at home now. She's recovering. She's real weak, but she's recovering. So we're going to pray for her in just a few minutes. Linda Haney, those of you that know who little Miss Linda Haney is, who is our 80-plus-year-old evangelist, who is evangelizing the nursing homes and anybody else that will listen to her. I mean, in the hospital, she's actively involved evangelizing. Where she's at right now, I saw her night before last, and while I was there, one of the aides came in to help her, and she's talking to her about Jesus, you know, and she's just a testimony. But Linda was at home, fell, and broke her hip in four places, broke her leg, and they had to put, I think, five pins in her hip, two rods in her leg. And she didn't even know she was operated on. And it's not because she doesn't, is not aware. She's just, that's just her. That's not what she's interested in. She just wants to get up on her feet, get back out, and do the bidding of the Lord. And matter of fact, while I was there the other day, she said, "Pastor, my doctor hasn't talked to me. Would you please call him?" You want me to call your doctor? Who is your doctor? She couldn't remember who the doctor was. She says, "But I got his telephone number." So I took her telephone number. She said, "I want you to call him and tell him I need to talk to him. I haven't seen him since I've been in here." I said, "But Linda, you're here in the rehab to be rehabbed. They're taking care of you. He knows all about it. He's the one that sent you here and everything else." She said, "Call him." I said, "Well, I would feel more comfortable if you have your son call him." And she said, "Well, that's probably a good idea." I said, "Well, we'll see where it goes from there. But you just continue to do your rehab. Get back up on your feet. You're not going to go anywhere until you get up on your feet and get moving." And so anyway, she's in good spirits. And thank God for Linda Haney. Arthur Andrews. Michelle, is he still at the...
He's at Hughley.
He's still at Hughley in room 3312? Okay. He's in the hospital. He had blood clots in his leg, and they found some in his lung. He's had two surgeries.
Three?
I didn't hear the third one.
Knee surgery.
Well, I heard the knee. Oh, he had knee surgery besides the blood clots? Okay. He had the blood clots removed. He had some blood clots in his lungs. They went in and removed the blood clots, clusters of blood clots in his lung. Never heard of that, but they did do that. Praise God for the advancement of science. Amen. How many of you know that their knowledge comes from God? Amen. Thank God. Thank God for the doctors. You know, there's a lot of faith people that won't go to doctors because they think they're not in faith. Listen, you better go to the doctor lest you might die. You use a little wisdom. You know, wisdom is the principal thing, right? So I want us to pray for these three, and there may be others that you're aware of that are in these particular circumstances and situations, and we can present them to the Lord as well. Amen. So let's pray right now, and let's believe the Lord. Diane, you have something to... Janice Smith. Well, they can't hear you.
Janice Smith's nephew passed, and he was really fairly young, so we just keep her in prayer and their family.
Amen. And while we're doing that, we're going to continue to pray for our nation. Our nation is in turmoil. It's really going through a hard time. But our God is God. He still answers the prayers of the righteous, and he will move. And listen, the world is going to wax worse and worse. That's what the word of the Lord says. It's not going to get any better, but the church is going to get better. The church does not go along with the ways of the world. We go along with the ways of the word. And we're getting revelation knowledge and insight into who he is and who we are in him. And so we need to press in. We need to be praying for our president. The president that we have right now, you may not support him, back him, or anything else, but you need to pray for him. You need to pray for him. And I'm one that I would like for him to leave yesterday. Personally, but he is still in office, okay? So we need to lift him up in prayer and believe God, because our nation still needs to be led in the proper pathways in the right ways. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just come to you in Jesus' name, the name that is above every name. There is no name under heaven whereby a man, woman, a child must be saved except at the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for this nation of the United States of America, founded upon your principles, godly principles. That's the reason that they left their countries, is to come and to establish something that would be led by the Spirit of the living God. And so, Lord, we just pray for our nation, and we start with the president, and we go all the way down, Lord, into our local cities, into our towns, communities, all those that are in positions of authority in government. Lord, that you would surround them with your protective hand, that you would minister, Lord, through them, put people into their pathway, Lord, that love you, that know you, and know what the word has to say, and would be able to declare that to them in such a simple fashion, in a way that they would receive it and that they would do something about it. Thank you, Lord, for changing the things that need to be changed, replacing people that need to be replaced, doing whatever needs to transpire. Lord, we thank you for this upcoming year of the election of the United States of America, for our presidency and other offices. Lord, do what needs to be done. Lord, let us see the turn once again back into righteousness. And Lord, we just give you praise for it. Now, Lord, we lift up these that we've mentioned. We lift up Joy. We lift up Linda. We lift up Arthur. We lift, who was it you said, Diane? Janice. We lift up her and her family. Lord, for all of the needs that are represented, for these that have been sick, we thank you that they are the healed. Your word declares that it is so, and we just stand upon your will and upon your word, believing you to do the supernatural, which you do naturally. And so, Lord, we thank you for it. This is a church that believes for the supernatural. And so, Lord, we thank you for supernatural intervention. We thank you for what you've already done. We thank you for what the doctors have been able to do. Now, Lord, it's in your hands. We thank you for supernatural healing. We thank you, Lord, for restoration, everything that is necessary. Lord, that you would do it in a supernatural fashion, in a quick way. And we just give you praise for it. In the name of Jesus, we give you all the honor. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. A couple other things before we get into the word. Daylight savings time changes tonight. tonight, move your clocks forward. I'm sorry you're going to lose an extra hour, but you'll pick it up later on in the year. All right. Unless they change all of that. Our next meeting for Victorious Adults is going to be in 3 weeks, actually 3.5 weeks. We're going to be going back to Monday. The first Saturday of the month, which is April the 6th. And Carla Porter is going to be our speaker for that meeting. So we look forward to having Carla with us, and she'll be a tremendous blessing. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Well, I got that out of the way. At the end of the service, we're going to take communion together. We haven't taken communion together as a family or as a group of Victorious Adults, but we're going to take it together today. How many of you know this month we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ on the 31st of the month? And so this is Resurrection Month. And we are risen with Christ. Amen. How many of you know that you're already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus? And thank God. I mean, if the rapture happens, wonderful. If it doesn't, we still go to be with the Lord. You know, I think my greatest privileges as a pastor was to minister in funerals of those that I knew were born again. Because it's a happy time. It's a win-win situation. I don't care what people have gone through. I don't care what anybody might say and everything else. It's still a win-win. You know, the one that leaves this life and everything else, whether it was by way of sickness or disease that Jesus took care of, we know that. But even if it was because of that reason, if they were a Christian bought by the precious blood of the Lamb, they stepped out of that earth house into eternal life. It was a win-win for them. They won while they were in life here on earth, and they won when they stepped out into death. And so it's supposed to be a happy time. It's supposed to be a celebration time. How many of you know that we're going to be doing a celebration this next Saturday here at the church for Tom? Tom Spencer, which has already gone on to be in the presence of the Lord several weeks ago. And I promise you, he wouldn't want to come back. Neither would you. Amen. You know, I just think about the word, you know. You know, Lazarus was raised from the dead, and it was an awesome thing, wasn't it? Yeah. It was an awesome thing. But he had to die again. He died once, and he had to die a second time. The young man that was on the briar that Jesus went over because he had compassion on his mother. And he touched the briar, and the young man sat up, you know, and came back to life. He had to die again. A second time. I mean, the story just goes on and on when you read in the scripture, but the truth of the matter is, it's a rejoicing time for all of us. Amen. Praise God. Anybody have your Bibles with you? You should never go anywhere without your Bible. Did you go without your Bible, honey? She's borrowing mine. This morning, I'm going to open up your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. Now, I'm going to be reading to you out of the Amplified Version. Because the Amplified does exactly that. It amplifies what's being said. Those of you that have any other renditions and everything else, I'm sorry, but this is the one I'm using this morning. I'm using the Amplified. Chapter 53. I'm going to read the whole chapter. Because the whole chapter is a prophetic word that came from Isaiah concerning the Messiah. Jesus Christ, Yeshua, HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, our Savior, the one who came and was the very image of God himself because he was God. And I'm going to make a statement. Don't get shocked. Guess who you are? If you possess eternal life, salvation, through the blood of Jesus, you have taken on a complete different identity than what you had before. You might have come from natural parents, but you now have a spiritual parent in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God said in the beginning, in Genesis, he said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And he breathed into him and made him a thing alive, a living being. And he called his name Adam. And one of the definitions of the word Adam is the blood of God. A reproduction in kind. And when Isaiah is talking here about Jesus, he's talking about God putting himself into man to fulfill everything that was necessary so that you would be in the same likeness of him. In the old covenant, he said he called us little gods, godlike, the character, the nature. He put all of us in, all of him into us. His love, his joy, his peace, his temperance, all of the fruit of the Spirit, you already possess it. If you have Jesus, you already possess it. When you allowed yourself to allow the Holy Spirit to come into your life, you received all of the manifestations that were necessary to produce all of the supernatural events in your life as well in the life of others. You have every gift that is necessary. It's whatever the gift that is necessary at the time is what you need. Amen. If somebody is going through a hard time and God needs to give you a word of encouragement of some kind, or a word of prophecy, or a word of knowledge concerning the situation, they may not necessarily need a healing, so you don't need to be operating in the healing situation. You need to be able to give something fresh from heaven. Well, God has already imparted into you, and that's what Isaiah is talking about, the man that was to come, that would become everything that was necessary, and he says that he came for us. He had you in mind. You weren't born yet. I wasn't born yet, but he still had you. Can you say amen? Amen? Starting at verse number 1, he says, who has believed, trusted in, relied upon, and clung to our message of that which was revealed to us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been disclosed? For the serpent up before him a tender plant, and as a root out of the ground. He has no royal kingly prompt, form of comeliness that we should look at him, and no beauty that he should desire him. He was despised and he was rejected, forsaken by men. A man of sorrows and pains. A man of sorrows and pains. You had any sorrows in your life? You had any pains in your life? He took care of them. He became that for you and me. And acquainted with grief and sickness. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised. And we did not appreciate his worth or have any esteem for him. Surely he has borne our griefs, sicknesses, weakness and distress, and carried our sorrows and pain, our pain of punishment. Yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God, as if with leprosy. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Right? Our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him, and with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. Now, this is hundreds of years before Jesus comes on the scene. And this is what Jesus is going to do for you and I. And you and I look, and we will look at it once again on the 31st of this month, of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of our Savior. He was not resurrected for himself. He was resurrected for you so that you didn't have to go through all of this. And so many times we accept, not meaning to, we accept things that are not rightfully ours. How many of you know that the devil does not have any right to your property? You belong to God. You belong to God. Amen. How many of you remember back in 2022 whenever I'd been given the sentence of cancer and everything else? And my first response was, I have a covenant. I have a covenant. That doesn't have a right to me. And how it got there, I don't really care how it got there. It has to go. It cannot live there. It cannot stay there. And last week, they gave me a year and a half report. There is no cancer. They can't find it. They're still looking for it. And I said, go ahead and document it. Go ahead and document it. I told the ecology doctor, I told him, I said, listen, I said, go ahead and document everything. He's a Christian man. I told him, I said, I told you in the beginning that you're not going to find anything. It's going to go away. I said, I don't care how it goes away. It's just going to go away. It can't stay. And he looked at me. He said, man, I sure hope so. And I said, no. It's not there. You can't find it, right? He said, no, it's not there. And I've got another doctor that, you know, does the EG, goes down my esophagus and checks, takes specimens and everything else so that he can see if there's any cancer cells left anywhere in the esophagus area. And he says, he when I came out from underneath the anesthesia and everything else, he goes and talks to Diane. He says, it's clean. Totally clean. Totally clean. He said, we can't find nothing. He said, I don't want to see him for another year. So I'm not going to go back for another year. And I've already had 9 of those. Checking me out. This Jesus is who he says that he is. Who Isaiah says he is. Who Ezekiel says he is. Who the psalmist says that he is. Who the Proverbs says that he is, who Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and on, he is who he says he is. He will do what he says he will do. We can have what he says we can have, because that's who he is, and that's who you are. You've been made in the image and the likeness of him. And he made them male and female. Male and female, not male and X, not male and Z. When you're born into this life, you are either a male or a female. And he called their name Adam, the blood of God, not Eve and Adam. That wasn't until after the fall. After the fall, she became the mother of all the living. She was going to be the mother of all the living anyway. Mr. and Mrs. Adam. And just for those of you, just for a little humor, how many of you believe that Adam had a belly button? And Miss Adam had a belly button. No, they didn't have a natural birth. They had a supernatural birth. Now, that's according to Pastor Phil, chapter 1, verse 1. You say, well, what's that got to do with anything? Nothing. Just thought that you'd like to hear that. But he was wounded, verse number 5 again. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain peace, and well-being for us was up on him. And with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed. Look at your neighbor and say, you are healed. You're healed, made whole. That word whole, go look it up for yourself. That word whole means spirit, soul, and body. Made whole. He made you whole. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has made to light on him the guilt. There it is. The guilt and the iniquity of us all. It's so simple. It's not hard. You can write down, if you have a pencil, you can write down 1 Peter 2, 24 and 25. He was oppressed. Yet when he was afflicted, he was submissive and he opened not his mouth, as a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and as a sheep that before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. But oppression and judgment, he was taken away. And as for his generation, who among them considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my Isaiah's people, to whom the stroke was due, stricken to his death. In other words, he took all of the penalties, all of the shame, all of the suffering, all of the iniquity upon himself for you and I. You know, when we look at the cross of Calvary, many times we just look at a picture of a man hanging on a tree. We feel bad about it and everything else, but there was more to that cross than just that man hanging on that tree. How many of you know that he was stripped naked? He was stripped naked. He didn't have a cloth on him to cover up anything. They shamed him before humanity. And they put the insignia on top. This is the King of the Jews. Look at your king now. Well, what they didn't know was what that was accomplishing was everything that would become your eternal life and my eternal life. Their eternal life too. Because Jesus from Calvary's tree, he said, Father, forgive them. They are so stupid, they don't know what they do. They are sheep. They're just wandering. They have no shepherd to follow. He said, they're just stupid. And I'm taking their penalty too. Don't hold it against them. And God didn't. That's the reason that every person has the right to be born again. Every person. Amen. Praise God. Verse 8. By oppression and judgment, he was taken away. And as for his generation, who among them considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my Isaiah's people. I read it to you a while ago, but I wanted to read it again. To whom the stroke was due, stricken to his death. And they assigned him a grave, which the wicked and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth, yet it was the will of the Lord to bruise him. He was he has put him to grief and made him sick. When you and he made him an offering for sin, and he has risen from the dead in time to come. He shall see his spiritual offspring. He shall prolong his days, and the will and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the fruit of the travail of his soul and be satisfied by his knowledge of himself, which he possesses and imparts to others. Shall my uncompromisingly righteous one, my servant, justify and make many righteous, upright, and in right standing with God? For he shall bear their iniquities and their guilt with the consequences, says the Lord. Therefore, will I divide him a portion with the great kings and rulers, and he shall divide the spoil with the mighty, because he poured out his life unto death, and he let himself be regarded as a criminal and be numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore and he took away the sin of many, and many intercession for the transgressors, the rebellious. This is what our Redeemer did. It was prophesied hundreds of years before Jesus came, so that we would have a picture to know what the Messiah was, what he looked like, and what he came to do. And did you know that when it all took place, most of them were clueless? I want you to think about it. Most of them were clueless why he came. Many believed in him, but they didn't understand who he was and what he had come to do. But they believed in him because he was such a righteous, godly man. Even the sinner was smart enough to figure it out. The guards figured it out, that this must be the Son of God. This must be. I mean, the tomb is empty. The tomb is empty. If you go back into Matthew and you begin to read, whenever Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to the tomb, that tomb had been sealed shut. It had been ordered by Pilate for the tomb to be sealed. Not just over the front of it, but sealed. For fear that the disciples would come and steal him by night and say that he was risen. It came to their brilliant minds that Jesus said, "You destroy this temple and I'll raise it up in 3 days." And he said that he would rise again. And so for fear that that would happen, they got guards and they paid them a price to seal it up, to seal it closed. And an angel came and just rolled it away. Set up on the top of it and just waited. And just waited. Matter of fact, it says that the guards saw it when it happened, and they were agitated, and great fear fell on them, and they fell as dead. Now, I don't know if they were dead, but they fell as dead. They got slain in the Holy Ghost. Power is too great. The power is just too great. Praise God. What a Savior. What a Savior. Amen. Amen. What a Savior. And we all know this, but do we have a revelation of this? That's what makes it different. When we get the revelation, of what's going on the inside of us and what the Holy Spirit is trying to reveal to us. You know, when we go through trials, he didn't say we wouldn't go through trials. He said we would go through trials. There's things that we'll face in life. Some people, you know, may face what I faced and everything else. But I want to tell you something. There's a greater one. There's one greater. He hastens
them out of it all.
Right. He's faithful. We just activate the word. The word works. The word works, but you got to work the word. If you work the word will work. If you don't work the word won't work. You got to work the word. That's the reason pastors stand up, you know, are you in the word? Are you in the word? Do you know that you're the righteousness of God? Do you know that you're blessed coming in and you're blessed going out? You're the head only and not the tail, above only and not beneath. You are who he says you are. But I just don't know, Pastor. Well, that's because you let doubt, fear, and unbelief. Mark 11:23-24 says, "Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed." What's the mountain? Any obstacle that's in the way. Any obstacle. "Say unto this mountain, be thou removed. Be thou cast into the sea, and not doubt it in his heart, but shall believe it those things which he saith." That's you and me. "That he saith shall come to pass. He will have whatsoever he saith." And then it goes on and it says in the next verse, 24, it says, "And when you stand praying, forgive." Forgive. Forgive. Listen, you can't afford to allow unforgiveness to stand in your heart. And that's not going to keep you away from, it's not going to keep you away from eternal life with the Lord, but it'll keep you away from the blessings of the Lord that he has paid the provisions for. Amen. You can't harbor resentment and bitterness in your heart. Amen. You hurt yourself. Amen. "Well, I just can't forgive them." You got to forgive them. He said, "Whosoever sins you remit are remitted. Whosoever sins you retain, they're retained." Yeah. How many of you believe that faith is one of the greatest opportunities that you have? You're saved by faith. You're healed by faith. You're delivered by faith. You speak by faith. You study by faith. Everything. You live and move and have your being by faith. Amen. You have no guarantees walking out these doors that something's going to happen, except you exercise what the Word of God says, that you encamp angels around about you to protect you in all of your going. Amen. I don't care what vehicle you're on. Did you know the whole plane will be saved just because you believe? I know when we were flying overseas and everything else, going to minister in the Philippines and stuff, we'd hit some pretty tough turbulences in the big jets that they had. But I tell you what, before I got on that plane, I'd made sure that I was covered. I said, "I want angels, not just hanging around. I want you on the plane." Get on the plane. Get out there by the motor. You know, on the wings. Yeah, the wheels, anything. Anything that's mechanical, you be there to aid and desist. Amen. When I was in the service, I didn't know to do any of those things. I didn't know. I wasn't born again back then. And when I was over in Vietnam, or off the coast of Vietnam, I was in the Navy, off the coast of Vietnam. Actually, I was really safe. But there was activity going on all the time. And every week we had at least 100 bodies that came, you know, on. They brought them on to the ship on the hangar deck. And a Marine was standing at one end and another Marine was standing at the other end. As long as they were there, that the Marines guarded those young men because they were going home to their families. I remember going down there, first time I ever saw it, and I thought that it was some type of a special bomb that was being loaded or something, you know, that they were going to use on the aircraft and everything else. So I went over and I started talking to the Marine, and he started talking to me, and he said, "You look down this row right here." He said, "Those are dog tags." And my heart sunk. There was at least 100, 150 bodies, and they were in their special body bags that they had prepared them for to send them home to their parents. And he said, we stand at attention and we honor these young men who have sacrificed their life for our country and for the country of Vietnam and in other countries. And I'm telling you, I didn't have Jesus back then. And I went back to my barrack, or back to my room, not barrack, but back to my room, and I just cried. Said, "That could be me. That could be me. And I'm just a young kid. That could be me." But it wasn't. Thank God. Amen. But you and I, listen, when I think of that, it just reminds me of what Jesus did. I see him on that tree different than I've ever seen him on that tree in my life. That's me hanging there. He put me on that cross. I was nailed to that cross. I was put on there. He did it in my place, but I was there. He did it for me. He did it for you. Amen. Isn't that a beautiful story? That's our God. That's how much he loves you. There's not a, you can't do enough wrong. You just can't do enough. He'll take care of it all. Every bit of it. In a moment. In a moment. Amen. You want to say something? Okay.
Just the previous chapter.
Yeah.
But, and this is the New Living Translation. "But many were amazed when they saw him. His face was so disfigured, and from his appearance, one would scarcely know he was a man. That's how bad he was beaten for you and me."
Right.
Glory to God. But yet and still, he stayed on that cross, Pastor Phil.
Amen.
He would not come down because he loved me so much.
Mm-hmm.
He hung there on that cross. Glory to God. I just had to say that, Pastor.
Amen. You know, when he was in the garden, he said, "Lord, if there could be any other way." You see, he knew what Isaiah said.
Yes, he did.
He knew what it was about to transpire and happen. And he was basically saying, "Lord, if we can do this another way, less painful, if we can do this, let's do that." And he said, "But not my will be done." Even Jesus wanted to get off and go another direction. But he said, "Not my will be done, but thy will be done." Amen. It had to be fulfilled.
Yeah. But you know what? What I always think about is he was beaten so bad with 40 strokes. Then, with the 40 strokes, be wrapped up. You know, if you get a cut of bleeding and you put something on it, that's very painful. You don't want it.
Yep.
You bleeding. been rough, but I thank you for it because you did it for me. I wasn't even yet born. But you knew me way before I entered my mother's womb, and I thank you for it. That's where I look at that, that he did it for me personally.
Amen.
He did it for us. He did it for everybody.
Amen. Amen. He's such a good God. Amen. Hallelujah. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. Surely he bore my sorrow, and by am healed. Amen. Amen. What a good God. What a good God. Listen, I want us to prepare our hearts. We're going to have communion. If you have any sickness, you have any feebleness in your body, you know, as we get older, we seem to pick up on more things. You know, but you know what? We can walk out of here totally, completely touched by the hand of the Lord. This is not just something that we do because we have to do it. This is something that we do in remembrance. He said, as often as you participate in this, do it in remembrance of me. What do you think he's talking about? He's talking about the price that he paid for you and me so that I will not have to suffer in it. Amen. I'm going to ask the two gentlemen that I've asked to help to pass the elements out. Yes, Betty. Into the mic. Put it up like a snow cone.
No, I was touched by what Pastor Phil had to say, and it's true, and it's our life. But our life is in the blood. It's in the blood of Jesus. And when he hung on that cross, that blood flowed down all the way down on his feet and down, remaining on the cross till it hit the ground. But anyway, that's the power. We're covered with that blood.
The blood didn't stop at the foot of the cross. It began to pour rain, and it washed into the city of Jerusalem. No, it didn't dilute. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. It's really precious.
Yes, it is.
Amen. Well, I'll finally turn my phone off. Thank God nobody called. Thank you, Jesus. Sing something, Joseph. Surely he bore our sorrows, and by his stripes I am healed. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. iniquities. Surely he bore our sorrows, and by his stripes I am healed. Sing it with us. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Surely he bore our sorrows, and by his stripes I am healed, and by his stripes I am healed. Amen. Honey, I need my... No, I need my Bible. First Corinthians, chapter 11, as Paul was speaking to the church at Corinth, starting in verse number 23, he said, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it, and he said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Kevin, I'm going to ask you if you would stand to your feet. Ask the Lord's blessings upon the bread, and we'll take together.
Lord, we just thank you for the symbolism of the broken body. It was broken for us, Lord. We receive it in Jesus' name.
Let's take together. Joseph, I'm going to ask you to stand. Ask the blessing upon the blood.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the blessing of this blood, the covenant that comes with it, the word that's behind it, the promise, the response that you have with it, Father. And we don't take this lightly, Lord. We examine ourselves and we know exactly what this covenant means. No vacancy here, devil. We have got a relationship with you, Lord, and we receive it in Jesus' name.
Let's take together. You can either place the cups on your table there, or they're going to have to be cleaned up anyway. Whoop. No, I don't mean clean them. The tables are going to have to be cleaned. Well, how many of you are blessed? You glad you came? Praise God. Well, we want you to walk out of here happy, full of joy. Don't forget tomorrow. Remember, you're going to set your clocks forward tonight. And you're going to lose an hour of sleep, but you're going to be blessed. He'll make it up later on. Amen. And don't forget, too, that Dr. Savelle is going to be here tomorrow. I know he'll be pumped and ready to go. So he'll have a good word in season for us. Amen. If you know others in our church, you know, someone called and they were wanting to come and to be a part of Victorious Adults. And they were talking to Diane and they said, but I'm only 49. And and listen, we don't turn anybody away. We may call ourselves Victorious Adults 55 plus. Notice we have some children here with us and everything. We expect the children to be blessed just as much as those that are, you know, up in age, you know, and older than them. But certainly, and if you know anybody that would like to come, be a part, we encourage you to tell them to come on and be a part, be blessed. Certainly, we want everybody that's 55 and over to come and to be a part of this group. There's some things that will be coming up. Pastor has some ideas that he would like to see done at Victorious Adults. How many of you would like to make a trip to Branson, Missouri? You know, as a group. And, you know, go to one of those wonderful churches that's there. Amen. Something different. Something fun. And we get to know one another a little bit better. Amen. You really get to know somebody when you live with them. For a couple of days. But you have to have a good attitude when you go. That way you'll get the full benefits out of it. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand to our feet.